Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I want parents to be emboldened to say, hold on, there's no one size fits all. Let me look at my child. Let me look at their algorithm. Let me think about what their experience is. Let me think about how I can handle that and what boundaries I'm setting. And then we're good.
Yeah.
That's it. The end.
Welcome back to the Pete's Dog Talk podcast, a podcast that continues to grow because of you and your reviews. So make sure you continue leaving those reviews and ratings wherever you can and sharing your favorite episodes on your social media channels. That is how the show continues to grow. And I get to invite the most amazing guests in parenting, child health, child development. And today's guest is no stranger to the parenting world. I'm so excited to have her on. She is Dr. Aliza Pressman, developmental psychologist, co-founder of the Mount Sinai Parenting Center, host of the podcast Raising Good Humans, and author of the newly released New York Times bestseller, The 5 Principles of Parenting. She is a busy woman for all the right reasons. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Pressman.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It is such an honor. Like I said, you are a light in the parenting world. You've been doing this for quite some time, and I'm new to this space, generally speaking, in the last 4 years. I have 2 small children, but your work, your podcast means so much to me. I look up to you. I am inspired by you. So it's so great to connect today.
Oh my gosh, you're so kind. And that is so just, that's such an honor.
Yeah. And tell us more about yourself if people are not familiar with who you are, and also the inspiration behind your new book, which is The 5 Principles of Parenting.
Okay. So I'm the mother of 2 as well. I've got 2 teenagers. I just came from a college counseling meeting. That's
ooh,
where I'm
college. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I wrote, The 5 Principles of Parenting. I had no intention of writing a book. I really felt like the podcast was quick and easy for people. Mm-hmm. And I could dive into different topics and be supportive, but not put too much, like, I just don't like putting more on the to-do list for very already inundated parents.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten enough requests for like, what book can I read about this? And it's like, it's always by a topic.
Yes.
And I started to think if I could just have everything in one, under one roof, like just one book that's kind of clearing away the noise, giving you the science, and then applying it in every setting for the birth through adolescence set, that it would be useful. And I also felt like you don't have to read it at once and like use it as a resource if it's helpful. And if not, don't get it. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely don't want to add to the pile of things I didn't do list that
right.
Mothers in particular experience, but all parents and caregivers. That's basically it. But it seems like it did strike a nerve with people, I think, in a good way. There's just been a lot of information that
yeah.
we are all, you know, you're doing the same thing, like trying to help people clear away the noise and cut to what actually matters, because some stuff really does matter. And I would never suggest that we should just go, you know, like go with our gut, because that mm-hmm. feels incredibly in, like, thanks for nothing. But I also think there's been too much, like so much minutia and mm-hmm. so much like is exactly how you have to do it,
yeah.
or your kids are going to be losers, you know, like,
yeah, I yeah. Just,
it just puts so much pressure. And I also know if you're reading, if you're even buying a parenting book, I think a lot of people buy them, mean to read them. And then until something comes up, you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I think even just buying the book or listening to the podcast, you're already doing great. You're curious,
yeah.
you're interested. And so I don't want anybody to feel less than. I'd rather just help everybody feel equipped and a bit of relief.
Well, already that piece that you just shared here is like the motivational end of this episode. I love it. Like, let's not consume so much more that we're feeling like we're not doing a great job. And I think, you know, even as a creator, you know, you obviously have your podcast, you have the book. I think the fact that you have this insight into understanding that you want to get this really useful, tangible information out there, but not contribute to over-information, anxiety that can come with that. That is exactly what I do. You know, I'm a pediatrician, so I do health development and parenting. And it's this art of, I want you to know this because I really think we can simplify parenting, but I also don't want you to feel that this has to be an overwhelming experience. And I also love, you know, you have your perspective of having children that are older. I have young children, you know, 4-year-old and a 9-month-old. And I'm still young in that process, but I still feel like I have that insight into what you are sharing, right? That, hey, here are some principles that we're going to talk about. It's not going to take up all your energy and time. It's not going to be this overwhelming thing, because parenting doesn't have to be this overwhelming thing that I think a lot of my generation, especially, is making it out to
Yes.
be. So I'm sure you can see that.
I can. Yeah. And I run a lot of parent groups and mostly mothers groups. And that has been an interesting shift because those started, I think, 17 years ago, before I think there was as much content out there.
Yeah.
And I can see the shift and I can see the pressure. Not that there hasn't always been pressure. Like, mm-hmm. let's not pretend that it used to be so easy back in the day and we were so relaxed. Like, every generation has its burden. But I do think that there is some kind of message right now that makes it all so precious and complicated, and that everything needs to have these exact words or you've blown it, or like this exact decision is, there's one particular best practice. And that just doesn't seem fair to parents. And what I really love is it is much more simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the hardest job in the world emotionally, but it's not that hard. Like, I'm almost embarrassed when I answer people's questions because I'm like, I could say it applied to different things, whether it's a 9-month-old or a 19-year-old. But if you really break it down, I'm saying the same thing about every situation. It's very unusual that my answer is going to change, and it's sort of plug and play, but not because I'm trying to simplify it, because it just is much more simple than we realize. I think sometimes we're looking for like a silver bullet that's not there.
Oh, I love it. I love it because you just mentioned something about the saying the right thing. You know, I think especially I'm being honest with like this last 5 years on social and a lot of the scripts, you know, like, hey, say this and not this. And I tend to stay away with a lot of that. I do believe that we can teach phrases that are really empowering, but with those scripts come parents kind of losing that intuition of like, well, that doesn't feel natural to me, or that's not something that I'm used to saying. So then they worry, well, now I just said the wrong thing. And then there's that self-guilt and that cycle of, well, now I ruined my kid because I didn't say the right words to my child. So I love this. And I love that you are bringing principles that go through the stages. I also do something similar on my podcast. I didn't realize that was going to be your book, but I do something similar where I talk about principles and I say, look, whether your kid's a teenager or a baby, you're going to be able to bring this foundation. So I want to hear what your principles are. And you provide 5 simple principles. And I think people are going to be like, there's only 5, but I can't wait to hear them because I really think they embody, like you said, the entire journey of being a parent. So what are those principles and why do you think that they matter and that they're useful?
Okay. And just on the script thing, if you love a script, go for it.
Yes, exactly. I also use scripts.
I did in the second half of the book where I was trying to make things really practical. I gave examples, but I was very clear that like these words are just try them out, but like if it helps, but if it doesn't feel authentic or it just feels annoying, these are not, the words themselves are not evidence-based. This is just like my way of making your life easier today, but let's not call that science. So the principles are, and I chose 5 that are rooted in the developmental science and that are in our control. I really wanted to make sure that it was like the things that we can actually do something about. Mm-hmm. So that's relationship, reflection, regulation, rules, and repair. Mm-hmm. And I think if you decide that our words are not your favorite thing and you change the words, there's still, you're going to realize, like, as we walk through anything in this field, they go under one of these umbrellas. So yeah. Like relationship might be attachment. It might be attunement. It might be connection. It might be something that isn't in your mind relationship, but it's relationship.
Yeah.
So I just chose our words to make it easy for the cluttered mind.
I love it. And it also, it's a nice little package there too.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I would love to use an example. So in the second half of your book, you demonstrate how those five principles of parenting can be applied to common parenting situations throughout the years. But can you walk us through how to apply the five R's that you mentioned using an example? And I'm open to your suggestion. If you don't have one, we can use screen time. But if you have another example, I'm open to that too.
Now let's take a break to hear from our sponsors. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from each week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian approved meals and ingredients you can trust. I absolutely love the spicy jalapeno, lime cheddar chicken, and mushroom chicken thighs with wild rice. Keep kitchen time to a minimum with Factor meals because they're ready in 2 minutes, no shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. I work from home and love the convenience and how delicious Factor meals are. Head to factormeals.com/PedsDocTalk50 and use code PedsDocTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PedsDocTalk50 at factormeals.com/PedsDocTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
As a pediatrician, mom, and podcaster, I want to share with you a podcast I recently discovered. It's called Understood Explains, and this season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. I listened to an episode called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans, and I learned so much that I honestly didn't know before. I now feel I can better explain these to my patients and their families and better support them in their neurodiversity journey. Navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences can be confusing, and this podcast helps to validate these struggles and provide actionable tips that are useful for parents, teachers, and clinicians. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
I'm happy to use screen time, and I think you can use it from screens and toddlers to screenagers to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the first thing is, like, when you think about setting, like, what is my limit? What matters to me? And what your rules are. And I go through, like, how to come up with them in the book, but I don't know what your rules need to be because I don't share your values necessarily. Mm-hmm. So we might have some that are aligned. I have a sneaking suspicion that there are many values that are shared, but who am I to presume to know? So I want parents to kind of figure out what their values are and make those rules matter for them. And those are the boundaries and the limits that we set. So let's say you've decided what you're feeling comfortable with around screens. And one family might say, we are screen free. We don't do screens. And another family says, you know, we do limited screen time. And another family says, I don't want that to be my argument. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Will I tell you that the science says you should reduce screen time? Yeah. Like, and do I think social media needs tremendous
yes.
guardrails? I do. But how you go about setting those limits is you need to have a close relationship with your child so that when you set the limits, those limits make sense to them mm-hmm. and they understand that they have nothing to do with your love for them. And that when they break those limits, they break the rules, they do make mistakes, or you do, that you make repairs, that you can come back to being reconnected again. And that in between that, when you know that your relationship is solid. Mm-hmm. So you say, like, you maybe connect, I know you really love that show.
Yeah.
And you really want to watch another episode. And so that's your relationship is like, I'm going to connect with you right now because I see you're laughing and you're having a really good time. And also, I might reflect either before I say something or after, why am I so freaked out about screens? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? What am I worried about? I could tell you as an adult, as a mother of teenagers,
yeah,
I know exactly what I'm freaked out about. I'm freaked out that social media is going to mess with them,
yeah,
in a way that is irreparable damage. And I need to make sure that I'm not writing an entire story of their future because they've been on it for an extra 20 minutes that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. So I need to reflect in order to self-regulate. And then coming in a close relationship and saying like, hey, whether you're saying you really love that show to your young one or to your teenager, I know you have like a really good time on this. And I know that it's how you connect with your friends. My job's to keep you safe. So I have to take your phone right now and it's bedtime or it's like getting dark or whatever your rule is. And I'm not coming in hot because I'm regulated. Mm-hmm. So I've already taken my breath. I've already decided what really matters to me because I've reflected. I've even thought like, how would my parents have set a limit when I was a kid? Would they have just come in and grabbed the phone and been like, I'm screaming at you? Or would they have been like scared of my big feelings? Like I could tell you right now that I think I probably could scare the daylights out of my parents with anger or sadness as a teenager or as a toddler. And they would have been like, wait a minute, I'm not going to keep my limit. I'm not going to do this to you because it's too hard for you. And so what did I learn? That being upset was terrible. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't feel that way. And so it needs to be fixed immediately. So I would do that, make my decision as a parent. And now if my kid doesn't like it, I can check that box of like, wait a minute, we have a relationship that can withstand mm-hmm. this hard time. I'm feeling pretty good about it because I had a moment to reflect and I'm regulated. I took a breath. I'm not operating from a place of fear. I'm clear on my limits. And we'll make a reconnection and repair once everybody feels a little bit more calm.
Yeah.
The end. And so when you get inundated by the news on how terrible screen time is, or you're worried that your kid is not going to read in kindergarten because they watch too much TV, or you're scared that your teenager is going to go through major depression and they've been on their social media, I want parents to be emboldened to say, hold on, there's no one size fits all. Let me look at my child. Let me look at their algorithm. Let me think about what their experience is. Let me think about how I can handle that and what boundaries I'm setting. And then we're good.
Yeah.
That's it. The end. It doesn't need to be a bigger story. And it certainly doesn't need to turn into like a whole book. You just need a paragraph.
Yes. And it's a moment, right? So the moment is a paragraph, that whole screen time moment. But like you said, using your principles can really help when you say, okay, this is the 5 R's, here's screen time, but that same principles, let's apply it to when they refuse food. Why are you upset when they refuse the food? What is that about? Is it because your parents had an issue with food insecurity? What is it? I mean, it's definitely, there's so many layers there that in a split second, and, you know, speaking as a newer parent and, you know, loving the work that you do, I think sometimes people hear this and they think it's such a difficult thing to do in the moment, but when you start doing it enough, it doesn't take it. Yeah. It becomes second nature. Like you said, we can tend to say to ourselves, oh, but that's not going to work or that's too hard because we don't do it consistently. But when you do it consistently, I can absolutely relate to it. It actually does work in the long run. Yeah.
You know, I think that's the key phrase is in the long run. Cause one of the things that we're always hoping for is like, it doesn't work. As in my kid didn't look at me and say, oh yeah, here's
my
screen.
Yes. That's not it.
Thanks for giving me that limit. But in the long run, it's going to be messy and it's going to be ugly and it's going to be exhausting. But once you become sort of fluent, and the whole reason that I sort of separated the book from the science and then the practice was I wanted to repeat myself so many times with different scenarios because I get it. It's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, you just do this with the 5 R's. But I understand that that is because I have many years of experience. Mm-hmm. practice. So I just want everybody else to just have that. And then you don't need like, I'm going to take a class on just screen time. I'm going to take a class on just how to deal with potty training. I'm going to do just peers in school, because each time you go through that, those principles, and you realize it's the same. I'll tell you, last night, which is a disclosure that I probably should ask my daughter for permission for, but I'll be super vague. But we had a really, like, I would say one of our bigger falling outs mm-hmm. that I've had with my older daughter. I lost my temper with her. I really mm-hmm. don't lose my temper very much with my kids. I have done a lot of practice. It's not because I'm a better parent. It's because my kids are older. It's easier. And I've had a lot of practice and I bend a little bit. Like, I practice a lot of self-regulation, but I lost my cool. Mm-hmm. I was so in a shame spiral over the minute I did it. I was like, I can't handle how horrible I just dealt with this. Yeah. It was like a sibling fight that I just couldn't keep my act together for. And I was so disappointed in myself. And I kind of went into my room. This is like, we're now in an argument where we've gone our separate ways and I'm sort of upset because I'm already regretting it. And I said to myself, like, what would I say to myself if I were my client? Or, you know, like, what would I say to a friend? And I would say, this relationship is strong enough to handle this fight and we can come back together and make repairs. I just need to regulate. And I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I saw something going on with my daughters that reminded me of something that happened with my sister. Mm. And I was so reactive. So then a little bit of time went by and lo and behold, my daughter and I came to each other and I gave her a big hug and I was like, I hated how I did that. I am so sorry. And she was like, I know. She was like, we're good. Like, we talked it through. I was like, oh yeah, relationships protect us. They really do. And the repair was so much easier because I wasn't repairing a lifetime of harm. I just was repairing a 5-minute tirade that I went on. Yeah. And afterwards we were fine. We had a lovely night. And I was like, I don't want that to happen very often. That was not something that I'm proud of. But I also was like, oh yeah, this is real. like we are okay. And this was the same thing. And I went through those 5 hours in my head and I was a little annoyed at first because I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this with my own brain. But but it's true.
Now let's take a break to hear from our sponsors. Have you heard about the terrible twos or threenagers? Yes, the toddler years can be tough. There is no denying that any phase of parenting can be really hard. There may be picky eating, tantrums, and struggles with potty training. But there is a lot of amazing things that you will see your toddler do during these years. I want you to enter the toddler years understanding toddler development and behavior so you can better approach tricky situations with your child. With resources on picky eating, potty training, tantrums, and other common toddler behavior like sleep refusal and toddler development, the toddler resources here at Peds Doc Talk aim to provide you with the knowledge you need to, dare I say, find some or a lot of enjoyment in the toddler years. For more on my on-demand courses, make sure to visit pedsdoctalk.com and check out resources for whatever you need. Have a friend? It also makes a perfect gift. Visit pedsdoctalk.com and click courses for more.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking It.
Thank you so much for sharing that story, because my listeners love hearing stories from people who are writing books about parenting. Yeah. Who are writing books about parenting and stuff. So I really appreciate that, because even though you may be an expert in the field, we obviously are all going through the same exact situations. We're not superheroes by any means to think
so
that.
Humbling.
Yeah, it is humbling. And it actually makes you a better person because of it, in terms of the work that you do, when you say, yeah, like, from the time of this recording, same thing. My four-year-old was irritating me and I lost my cool. And like you said, because we have such a strong connection, because he knows that I'm always there for him and that I have his back, that repair was so quick. There was no big production about it. And he knows that mommy had a bad day and mommy was being irritable and I apologize. And that apology repair part of your R's is like, it's so humbling. And I think, again, speaking to, you know, parents overthinking and overdoing, I think sometimes we forget, well, okay, I can't do the repair, or then they're not going to look at me as this authority figure. No, part of being an authority figure and a healthy, loving authority figure is that, like, the connection and that repair. And I think it's such a beautiful thing to hear that story and know that. I think so many of us and my listeners relate to that sort of thing, because we've all been there. No one is going to, no parent, even the most mindful yoga meditation guru is going to lose their cool, and it's human nature. So I appreciate you sharing that.
And, you know, I believe the science that, like, you can't actually have as strong a relationship if you haven't experienced the small ruptures to make the repairs. Like, that science is decades old and it's still beautiful to me. And I still think about it, and I still thought about it last night. And it is so true. It's one thing to share the science. It's another thing to experience it. And just, wow, do I just get blown away. Still to this day, I'm like, man, it's humbling. And also it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I could talk to you forever about the beauty of parenting. I share it so deeply, this struggle and how hard it is, but also just, it is amazing to be able to foster that. And I don't want my kids to grow fast. There's no rush that I have, because I know how fast it goes as a pediatrician, seeing my babies now be 9 years old after working at my, like, they grow. And I am excited for that journey, when you know that these principles exist and that you can take it step by step, that although teenage years are different than the toddler years, there's a lot of developmental similarities between kids that are teenagers and the autonomy desire and all of that. Of course, your approach is going to be a little different. I know you spoke earlier and we talked about the inundation of, you know, parenting advice available out there. And so finding that sweet spot between micromanagement and chaos, how does your book, which is a parenting book, giving information, how does it actually help parents rely less on parenting advice?
Well, the first thing I think it does is it lays out the science and kind of simplifies it. Like, it's not that complicated. So you can keep going back to the same principles and apply them in every setting. And then you stop needing anything.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, of course, if there's an emergency, if there's something that's very off topic or unusual, you should, of course, seek out support, an expert and a pediatrician, and say, like, hey, I'm out of, this doesn't feel right. Like, something's going on. But most things are very easy to navigate going back to the same principles. And it's just a matter of believing it. It's just a matter of saying, like, wait, that's it. Like, I did it. That's the response. You're not necessarily, again, getting the thank you for being such an awesome parent every time. And like, oh yes, I will be the perfect kid.
Yeah.
But you are doing the thing that you need to be doing from your end. You're cleaning your side of the street in this relationship. And I do very much care about the balance between the chaos of not giving information and the rigidity of the too much information. Mm-hmm. So I hope that this book, and generally my tone and any of the work that I do, is that really boring in the middle amount of information, what you need to know, but what is actually relevant and helpful. And the rest, sometimes it's fun to learn about. Like, there are times, if you and I are talking about child development, maybe we are going to get really in the weeds because it's fascinating to us. And it's not going to stress us out because it's just more academically interesting, frankly. Mm-hmm. But that's different. And so I provide a little bit of that. Like, I want, if you have a four-year-old, for you to know that your child's probably gotten to the developmental stage of theory of mind and understanding that different people have different perspectives and how cool that stage is compared to, you know, your two-year-old who would be like making all sorts of assumptions that we all view the world the same way. That's so cool. How does that apply to all parents? Well, it might make you think your two-year-old is a little bit less manipulative than you might be saying they are. And it might make you feel a little bit more comfortable with how your four or five-year-old has figured out how to tell a fib, because they're like, oh, it turns out I can take the perspective of another person and see what they might want me to say, and I could say it. So I think it's helpful, but I also recognize that if you said to me, this is too much in the weeds, like, I don't really want to know that information, that we can go back to the five R's. So I don't know if I answered the question other than to say I was pretty choosy about the information that I gave. And I included things that are interesting and might be relevant to specific topics, specific pain points or challenges, but that ultimately I want everybody to feel safe knowing that if you just lean on the five principles, obviously that's not the only thing that I put in the book, but just if you lean on that and you're overwhelmed with all the information out there, that you're good, that you're going to be doing the thing that you need to be doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this in combination with your show, your podcast, and all the resources that you do, I think really embody that. So you did answer that question, and I think in just such a great way with this whole conversation. What would be a final message for everyone listening today?
What would be a final message for? Well, I mean, you're here. So I'm very excited for all of your children. They're very lucky, you know?
Yeah.
They've got curious caregivers. And so I think that everybody should just today, right now, have a moment of just kind of, you know, saying like, I've got this.
Yes.
And we are here for you when you feel a little bit overwhelmed. Like, nobody has to do this alone. Mm-hmm. I just don't want people to feel like they can't do it without us.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, such a pleasure connecting with you. I love this conversation. Where can people purchase your book? And also, where can they stay connected, sharing your podcast again? I'll be sharing all these links on my show notes as well.
Thank you. You can buy the book anywhere you like to get books. I prefer bookshop.org because little thing I learned selling books, I had no idea. You can support local bookshops by going to that website. So you can order online. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
But you can also go to Amazon. I just like supporting local bookshops, but with the convenience of like your phone.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram at Raising Good Humans Podcast, and I have a Substack, free Substack, drlisapressman.com. No, it's drlisapressman.substack.com.
Perfect.
And so all those ways, and I'm wishing everybody well, and it was so nice to meet you.
Yes, it was so nice connecting. I hope we connect again on my show and hopefully on your show as well. I love talking about all this stuff, child development and parenting. And so for everyone listening, I'm sure you love this episode. Please check out her book, check out all her resources as well as her show, the Raising Good Humans podcast. And I really, if you like the show, make sure you leave a review and a rating. Call out Dr. Aliza Pressman's episode. It really helps us grow the show. And I cannot wait to chat with another guest next week.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kids. kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.